You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are still doing our imperfect parenting series, which is really exciting. I feel like I've hijacked The Kylo Show a little bit.
Well,
because it's about
my big deal.
It is kind of a big deal, and it's really exciting.
Big deal. I mean, how many books have you written?
This one.
See? I mean, we're talking about 100% of the books you've written.
Yeah, that's it. But with that, I get to bring in all the people that I love that I think are amazing and are influencing either my parenting or I want to give influence to your parenting. So with that, we've invited again my dear friend, Miss Angie Taylor.
Yay.
How are you today, Angie?
Such a pleasure to be with you guys today. And I cannot wait for this book to come out. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited because, you know, we have some unique voices that are appearing that haven't ever made an appearance. So that should be fun. And but I, which are tied to you, Angie, I'll just give a little teaser that there's some fun ahead. But you know, you are a godsend, which I've said this before every time you've been on our podcast. I can't say it enough. I shout the name of Valor everywhere I go because I love it. I love it yeah. so much. And I know personally just how much tension can be in the education world for parents. And you have created a resource that is just relieving that tension and creating a partnership. And I love it so much.
We brag about Valor everywhere we go, you know, and we are a strong marketing arm for your online school.
True.
This is, does feel like the escape hatch onto a boat that is floating on a boat that is sinking. You know, we're like, get out of here. And
it's true.
A ship named Valor.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, Andy, will you give them a little teaser as to who you are, what you do, in case they've missed any other episodes with you on our podcast?
Sure. I have been in the education arena for 30 years. I started in public school, moved over into private Christian education, and 7 years ago launched the very first Valor brick and mortar campus up in Portland, Oregon. Very quickly turned into 7 schools in Guatemala, Haiti, Philippines, Kenya, South Korea. We have we have an online school that is in have students in 40 states in the United States. And so we're just still growing and really looking at education in a different way. You know, with all my years of education, I really came to a conclusion that actually no one disagrees with truly, and that is the education model that we are using is broken. I mean, I've sat in on Harvard Global Think Tank on education a number of years, and all of the research, all of the educators behind the scenes are saying, yes, this is ineffective, it doesn't work. And so that was really the first step for me of, well, if it's not working,
why are we going to
give my life away to this and raise up another generation in this? And so that was really the catalyst behind stepping out and creating a new model for Christian Ed.
Way to go.
Yeah. And we're grateful for it.
Thank you. Yes.
So grateful for it. You know, I mean, as working with parents, I have a different role than probably what you do with working with parents, but I think they're probably very similar, just a different lens. So a lot of times I get parents that are, sure, they might be frustrated with the school, but they feel pretty powerless to communicate with the school. That's a pretty common thing. And then I have a lot of, you know, how to get my kids to do their homework or their schoolwork, you know, or how to create powerful kids on the playground if they're being bullied. But, you know, what would be your response to the ideal relationship between educators and parents? because I have like a different lens, but I would love to know, like, as an educator for 30 years, what's the ideal relationship? What does that look like?
Well, in reality, education as a whole has gotten this wrong. We have mistaken ourselves for the role of the parent. And scripturally, when you look at it, you have to understand God gave you your children. God knit your babies together in your wombs. You're responsible for them. And an educator's role is to partner with you, because no one will love your child or know your child better than you do. Truly, no one will care more deeply about the well-being of your child holistically than you do, if it's a healthy parenting situation. And so, you know, my response to that is, first and foremost, you need to be in a school that understands that, because that isn't true in a lot of sectors. The educators do feel they know more and they are smarter because somehow they have a college degree that means they know more. And the reality is it's simply not true, nor does it serve families when we usurp any kind of authority or responsibility that supersedes. I will never have more influence as an educator over your children than what's going on in your home.
Or at least you shouldn't.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. That's actually that's it. Well, we say that, but the reality is parents are influencing their kids always. Mm-hmm. They're either absent, abdicating their authority to someone else. You're influencing your kid, right? It's just in a very negative way. And so that's my thing is take personal responsibility as a parent. Yeah. To understand your mandate, your God-given role, and you have to take extreme responsibility of that first and foremost.
And your systems are actually partnering with that expectation versus an education system that is partnering with, we expect parents to be way too busy, way too distracted, and way too tired.
Correct.
So explain a little bit about how you're engaging parents who are tired and distracted and busy.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't easy. I mean, in a lot of part of it is we are actively coaching and collaborating and working with parents to understand you have this long, like literally by the time your kids are 12 years old, you will have spent 91% of your time with them. In their lifetime,
right? I saw that.
I don't like that statement, Angie, because Lincoln's almost 11, and this is really hard for me to even.
Yeah, it actually when you recognize that, when you as a parent step back and say, "I have literally 18 summers with my child," that's nothing, right? So the idea that we are too busy. So one of the things that Valor's passionate about is keeping this kind of stuff in front of our parents. Yeah. And then second is communication. And an invitation, I mean, that's the other thing is that open invitation with parents of, hey, when things aren't going, like, you know your child better than us, when it's not going well in your home, don't just think you have to suck it up and take it. Mm-hmm. And you're out on an island out here and it's us against you. Let's communicate, let's collaborate, let's partner together with each other. You know, and at the end of the day, if a teacher or a parent comes to me, or one of our advocates come to me and say, oh, I'm struggling with this parent, or the parent says, I'm struggling with this teacher, my first question is, oh, have you talked to them? Have you all been in a meeting together, face to face, and had the conversation? So it's just, you know, it's being really focused on this relationship is paramount, being focused on everybody. Role clarity is key in successful partnerships. And making sure that we are all really clear whose responsibility is what.
Yeah. And the thing I love about this is it's a it's an agreed upon partnership. You know, you know, there's an interview, there's a discussion, expectations laid out, there's an agreement to go forward together. And then when it starts to fail on either side, you can say, hey, whoa, we agreed. You know, so unlike the vast education system, which is everybody's kind of stuck with everybody, feeling powerless, mm-hmm. and no real recourses to make adjustments anytime quick. You know, it's going to be years, or we'll just deal with this situation until next year and hope it's better.
Totally. I think about, I think it was our first actual full year with you guys. And we went to like your Activate retreat, which is the beginning of the year, or beginning of the school year. So it's kind of like, I called it really fun orientation because that's the only way I experienced that. I was like, this is not like any orientation I've ever been a part of. But what I remember is we got a book for our senior that was a little like, I don't know that I would be teaching this in my home. I'm confused by the topic, and I trust you, Angie, and at this point, I didn't have any relationship with the teacher, but I just remember your ability to receive me, to say, hey, I have some questions, I'd love to understand, and your first response was, you know, let me check into that, in acknowledging my need and my concern as a parent, which I think that's one of the big things for parents is that we feel so silenced in the education world when it comes to concern. That we have of art with our kids.
You have to go to war.
Well, you do. I in my book, you'll hear all about me going to war with the education system because I felt like my child wasn't safe and I was dismissed. And, you know, what I've seen you do in the, I mean, I would say that we had an amazing conversation with Abe, who is the English teacher, and we love him, and we are supposed to be doing like a Zoom date with him and his wife to hang out because we love them so much, or we haven't met her, but he's so much fun. But I just love your approach was not in any way belittling to my concern. If anything, you saw my concern, you saw my heart, and you said, let me figure out how to help you feel safe. I feel like that's unheard of. Are you a unicorn in the education world? Is that what you're telling me?
You know what? If I could have found a school that prioritized this, I would have went to that because it's incredibly tough starting schools. But the reality is it is such a divided gap, and it's nothing that's come easy even for Valor. You know, to your point, it is that it doesn't matter how tired I am when I get hit with a, hey, I'm concerned as a parent. Like I get to over and over and over, as well as my staff, teach my staff, you know, first of all, we listen and we hear. Mm-hmm. You got to hear people. Second of all, we respect and honor that this parent was given these kids by God. They are the authority in that child's life. And we want to honor that relationship. And so it just, you know, it's not easy, but it creates these really great relationships, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, to speak to that book specifically, Valor's not a shelter in place school. Like, again, so many Christian schools have this, we're going to shelter in place, and our school has really pushed into, we're going to have hard conversations and teach our kids to think critically about those conversations. Yeah. So to your point, I actually do get quite a bit of pushback because we're not just playing it safe with our kids, you know, but it just requires that, hey, let's go back and forth. And then obviously I have just tremendous regard for you guys and all you're doing. So, you know, that was a particularly easy one for me to address.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it was easy.
You said something key. You said our teachers listen and hear. as if those are two different things. Could you kind of unpack that just a little bit? Because I think you just identified the act and the art of listening.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is what we coach our staff in is communication isn't simply when you've told someone something. Communication actually only comes back when the person affirms to you that they understand what you guys are talking about. And so it's the same way with parents, right? Them just telling you something isn't communication hasn't been told and they haven't been heard. It's when I affirm to you, this is what I'm understanding you saying. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm understanding it. Because that's where you close that feedback loop that frankly tanks most relationships, is just simply the feedback loop didn't get closed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the difference between your eardrums work and I feel you.
Correct. That's excellent.
Yeah. The example you just gave, I think about, you know, when I asked Lincoln to clean his room, if I walk away and he says, yeah, I'll do it, I know it's not going to be done well. I know it's not. I know better than this. So my ability to go and say, okay, I need your room clean. Do you know what that means? Yes. Okay, tell me what that means. And until he lists something that I believe to be true, we're going to go back and forth in the exchange until we both have the same result, which is this is by definition, by the two of us, what a clean room actually is.
Yeah, I have a picture in my head.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get this picture into your head.
That's exactly.
In my house, that was called by mom standards.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's probably what it is behind closed doors too.
Yeah.
The other thing I find so interesting in your school that you've created that I have such high value for is the level of connection that you encourage your parents to have with the students. And, you know, in the education world that I'm used to, that my kids have been in, sure, there's a value to express love and gratitude from the teacher. I believe absolutely that these teachers love these kids. But I don't know that it is allowed to be as one of the leading things in the experience. How did you create that? How do you get away with doing that? Because nobody else is allowed to say I love you or to say I care deeply about you. How have you been able to create this? Because I just think it's funny that nobody, I watch my daughter who does not love school. I have been fighting. I can't wait for her to graduate because I feel like I'm graduating. I'm so excited about that part of it because she has never been a lover of school, and that's okay. But she will work so hard in different areas because she feels believed in and she feels loved and she feels connected to these teachers. And so what she's willing to give, I haven't seen at the rate. Usually it's like one teacher out of the six that they have. But what you've established, I don't know how you've done that.
You know, it's interesting. There's so much actually brain research around exactly what you're saying in the learning process. The reality is, and John Maxwell says it best, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know? And then there is a lot of neuroscience wrapped around the emotion of learning now being really that chief priority in a relationship in the classroom. And so, you know, community is one of our core values as a school. We talk a lot with our staff about, and coach a lot with our staff about, what does community look like in your room? We train them in, here's what the brain research has, because generally if we see a kid struggling in the learning process, there's usually some kind of barrier, whether that's they themselves have, you know, a belief that's a false belief. But the truth is if we, or they believe the teacher just doesn't care, which is equally damaging in the learning process. And so the truth is until we identify and remove a barrier for a student, you can talk all day long at them. And we're not a school that our goal is just to get you through content. And that is successful. And I think that's where education misses it as a whole, is it's all about, did we stuff all the content into our kids and we pretend like this thing called the internet doesn't exist?
Or chat, what is it, chat?
Chat GPT.
That's it. That's it. That is a, have fun with that one. That's new for you guys.
We're having a blast. See, Valor actually has a disruption policy. Like when there's disruption in the marketplace, what's our policy around how do we integrate that into our school? Because we're a school that's preparing kids for the world, to be successful in the world that we're handing them. And so you have to be, in ChatGPT, just as an example, literally the day it came out over a weekend, and I met with my staff on Monday and I said, listen to me, you watch, educators by this are going to try to ban this thing. They're going to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Schools. I'm like, we're not going to do that. We're going to co-create while producing critical thinkers. And they're all looking at me going, how?
Okay.
And I'm like, a great question for us to wrestle with. This is, you know, you just can't be afraid of the wrestle in it. And so but you have to be forward thinking, innovative, and education is none of those things, because we can't get a standardized test out fast enough to adapt to the world that they live in.
Hey, Brittany here. Yes, you normally hear me on The Kylo Show, but I am interrupting The Kylo Show right now to tell you about my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, is coming out Mother's Day. So check that out. But before that, I've got a conference happening. I know, at the beginning of May. May's gonna be great. So if you wanna come to the conference with all of my friends, Seth Dahl, Lauren and Jason Valentin, Danny Silk, all these wonderful people are coming, make sure you go to imperfectparenting.co to find out the details, and hopefully I see you there.
It's so curious how people that are preparing others for the future are desperately hanging on to the past. I mean, this is kind of the crux of how the church becomes so irrelevant, is that we are teaching our leaders of tomorrow how to stay dedicated and rooted and stuck in the past, while innovation and adaptation and disruption is the norm. Mm-hmm. Our theologians, our leaders, our pastors are unable to cope on many levels with how do I help you in your life today, but more importantly, how do I help you thrive in tomorrow?
Yeah.
So well done. That's a great tack that you've
welcome disruption. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well,
disruption policy. Wow.
Yeah, okay. You have to, the market's changing. As soon as ChatGPT came out, I said, this is the tip of the iceberg. And it's going to be the kids that actually leverage this in smart ways that lead. And I'm so, we're dedicated to leaders and creators who are going to shift culture. And if we're dedicated to that, we can't simply sit back and go, but my standardized test scores dropped when I started doing this. And see, that's transparently speaking, that is the problem for education as a whole right now, is our teachers are being measured on their standardized test scores. Our schools are being measured on their standardized test scores.
It's so interesting that parents are not involved in the standardized testing, meaning that there's no feedback about the parental experience in standardized testing. It's all rooted on some metrics that Ivory Tower came up with and said, okay, you're going to have to perform in these areas. So teachers are then held to these boxes, and you've removed the individuality of the kids you've removed the experience of the household and the family and the family's culture. Mm-hmm. You've removed the connection from the home entirely.
Yeah.
And you are going to prepare kids for yesterday. You're going to prepare kids tomorrow for yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. And the truth of that should have been watching what our schools did during COVID. You know, the reality is anybody that was in a school during COVID that couldn't transition quickly to online blew my mind because I was like, this is the future for these kids. Like, if we can't lead what we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well, congratulations, by the way, that you figured out, you know, that it is about, because there's going to be early adopters in these students. There's going to be, you know, kind of the general, well, let's wait and see how many of them die from eating those mushrooms, you know, which ones we can eat and which ones we can't eat. And then there's going to be people that say, you know, I'm never going to eat a mushroom ever because somebody died once. You're like, okay.
It's valid.
You know, so, but you are actually creating a place for early adopters to thrive. And that's beautiful.
But you have to be comfortable in the messy, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
You have to, you know, you're imperfect parenting. You have to lean in and understand it's going to be a great challenge. It's going to, you know, and so even teachers that are more traditional teachers, you know, are probably not a fit for us.
Yeah.
I do love, you know, in the disrupting, I feel like parenting, I laugh that every 6 months your child's changing, and if you're not ready for it, they're going to change without you, and then you're going to play catch up, you know. So noticing when the change is happening, noticing what needs to adapt and change, and that's exactly what you guys have done. And we've been firsthand on the side of being part of a school. COVID hits, we transitioned with them to trying to figure out how to do online, which was, I won't say exactly what I felt like it was on the podcast, but man, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was not good. And so even switching to your school, I remember so much anxiety of saying, yes, this is fully online. We've done this. And it was miserable. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen my kids have depression. And that's what I watched happen to them, is their confidence levels plummeted and their belief in themselves, and their teachers, who are the sweetest people I'd ever met,
angry,
are frustrated and so angry,
so scared.
And I'm like, wow, I don't know what we're doing here. And so, you know, Addie was the one that really did want to join Valor because she had the hardest time when we were doing the COVID world. But I mean, so just to speak of, I've done both. We've done very traditional, we've done public, and to move into a space that sees all the potential that's in your kid that you see, that's seen by other people, and then figuring out, like, how do we, I call Valor the best of both worlds of, you know, kind of a public school system and a homeschool system, you know, which is, I'm not fully responsible for the schoolwork, which is really overwhelming as a parent. Like, I mean, you should see me making lesson plans, Angie. It was a hot mess over here. It was just, I had so many binders. I thought I have killed an entire forest because the amount of paper that I have all over everything. And I actually love having my kids home. I think it's super fun. You know, I love the freedom that we have. I love coming home early from work, or I love leaving in the morning and they're running around. I mean, I just love when they call me at lunchtime because they're making pancakes for lunch together. I love all of that. But I also love that I don't have to do the heavy lifting, which you handle, but you give them all the freedom and the creativity and a different perspective that homeschool gets to have. You know, like Lincoln, it was in the nature walk class with your daughter. And he just loves it. He's, for his schoolwork assignment, is he's got to go make his own scavenger hunt. And he's out there, you know, and I'm sure every single one of them comes back. But this is just the beauty of your ability to look at a broken system and say, what's God's design?
You know, we could do.
For something better.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, it really was a commitment. And it's the number one priority I have, is these kids have divine potential and destiny in them. And it's only as we look at them as unique individuals, you know, that we're going to be able to draw that out, that we're going to be able to build the confidence. And you have a unique voice, add that to the world in a beautiful way. You know, and when you look at the education system or the standardized testing system, very few people know the testing system, SATs, ACTs, college boards, all of that is literally just behind pharma in the income it produces globally. And so when you think of the money wrapped up in that in teachers' unions, you know, the odds of the education system changing in a way that mirrors what we're doing is pretty limited, because you have to relinquish a lot of ideas of what was.
Yeah. Well, I think the results are going to speak for themselves, you know. I think that when students that are experiencing this kind of creativity and independent responsibility, empowerment, vision, I think as we watch what happens with those students around around the globe, I think there may be a line down the street trying to get into Valor online schools.
Well, and I just want to say this very quickly in this equation, because, you know, Brittany, you spoke to it. Parents do have a role in this, that they also have to transition out of being the parent that complains about the system.
Yeah.
And being, they have to shift in accepting their responsibility of anything that's happening in my kid's life, I'm allowing that to happen. And, you know, even when you're in a bad situation, you know, my kids have been in situations, and the thing we train our parents, and I did with my own kids, is if they would come home and say, hey, this teacher, blah, 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 you know, the blame game that we like to do, I just always looked at my kids and said, that sounds frustrating. How can you win in that situation? Mm-hmm. Right? Because my goal is, I want to empower my kids regardless of the responsibility. And a lot of parents are trying to prepare the road for their child rather than preparing their child for the road. And it's just essential that we help them transition into that space of, first of all, if I have my kids in a broken system, that's a choice I'm making. And that, you know, those are tough words, but parents need to receive that. If I'm simply complaining about the education system without confronting it, that's a choice I'm making. If I'm letting my kid behave like a victim of my teacher's mean, everybody hates me, I need to help my child be empowered to win in those situations.
Absolutely. And that's what, I mean, Delaney's going to graduate this year, and we've spent a lot of time, because she's not a lover of school, just because that's not what she thrives in, but that's okay. So the whole conversation we've been having with her as she's trying to figure out what she's going to do next, because she's probably not going to work at Safeway forever, though she could. I said, girl, I want you to do what brings you the most joy and that you are so happy with and you're continuing growing in. So if that's Safeway, then it's Safeway. I doubt it, but if it is, as long as you're happy, I'm going to be happy for you. But one of the things I love that she's been able to critically think about this year, and I think she completely did because the environment in which she was in at Valor this year specifically, and last year too, but just going into this year, knowing it's her last year, what's going next, is she's always been so terrified of adulting. And it's still a place of anxiety and fear. But watching her just be surrounded by people that are, you know, the peers, the people in her class are just so encouraging, so kind. And they're all like, I'm scared, but you know what? God is good. I mean, there's just this constant reaffirming of going back to the source, which is Him, which I love that she's not trying to come to me or Ben as her source to make the road for her, but really going to the source, which is Him, and saying, okay, God's good. He's got a plan for us. And I mean, I watch her and this other kid in her class, they're text exchange. I mean, there's multiple. I'm just talking about one in particular, but she's decided that next year she's going to dedicate a year to her relationship with the Lord, So she's been looking at all these options, and every place where she just had second thoughts about something, I just watched just students just pour in truth. And I just think, wow, you've created that because, you know, and then she's talking about different events we've been at, and really just the high value she has for bringing her best self to the freshmen that are in the room. And I don't think that she had that conviction going on. She had a much more of a selfish kind of perspective of what is it about me. But since being in a place where they encourage each other and edify one another and just are pushing each other back to the source, the shift has completely changed. And I think Delaney's a very compassionate and caring young girl, but I just, the quality of people that have been coming around, and I've seen it with Adeline, you know, sure, there's middle school things that happen, right? But the quality, middle school is middle school. But I think that there's just a different caliber of hunger happening in families that are coming to your school. I don't know if you would agree with that, but I feel like that's what I've experienced.
Absolutely. We do attract people that are looking for more, right? Like we're attracting people with an abundant mindset because we're asking you to pay more tuition for your kids and kids around the world, you know, so like right out of the start gate. But I think one of the things that we miss as parents is we want them to be confident. We want them to add their unique voice. We want them to care about others, but we fail to provide opportunities to practice those skill sets, right? At the end, when our kids are going to traditional school, it's about stuffing content into them. And then regurgitating that information. It's about, you know, what'd you get on your SATs? What'd you get on your, you know, it's a very competitive space for them rather than you're unique. And so what we've really tried to do is be very intentional about where are we giving kids practice in using unique voice and making space for that to happen, because actually that's where more learning is taking place, when they're using their voice and building confidence in that.
Yeah. And it's so much fun. I think that one of the things I was a little nervous about is the level of technology that the kids are on. Like I probably more than what would be normal, or maybe not. I mean, they're on their phones, but what I see them interacting with each other as far as the technology realm, like I've never seen Adeline on her iPad, but in a FaceTime group with a bunch of friends doing their homework. Like that never happened previous to Valor. So I'm like, well, I'm not mad about you being on your iPad because you're homework.
This is the new experience of going to the library.
And that's, you've introduced a different relationship with technology. And how do you encourage parents with that? Because that's another piece that I think a lot of parents are, technology's bad.
Well, they are. Technology is actually really neutral. It's what you do with technology that makes it incredibly powerful or makes it incredibly detrimental, because obviously there are concerning things with technology. So we do two things with technology. Is we very intentionally coach and train our parents on, you know, we have at most of our retreats, I'm sure you've sat in on some of them, we have a specialist that is coaching and training parents on, here's how to help have healthy relationships with technology. We position our kids as the creators rather than simply the consumers of technology, which is the other key, right? Because it's the comparison that makes it so toxic. So, but it's how are you spending your time with technology? If you're going on to technology and adding value, being a light, it's actually a really powerful tool. But if you're simply consuming and comparing, then that's problematic. And the third thing is it is not bad for our kids to show up and only get 3 likes and keep showing up anyway, because welcome to the world that not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to sing your praises. And do you show up anyway? Do you speak truth anyway? Do you value your voice anyway? And so those are all keys that have to be coached, practiced, moved through.
You know, one of the things that I've really admired about this design is it's an online school. You have 40 plus states represented and however many countries, and the amount of disconnection that is possible in an online school. And you have created these retreats. You've created these gatherings. When these kids come back from these gatherings, it is like they've been at a family reunion. Could you kind of unpack that a little bit, that the genius behind getting all these people to fall in love with each other? How did you do that?
Yeah, again, it's just when we say community is core to us, then we have to ask the question of where and how is that happening? We understand the value of face-to-face communication. And so right out of the starting gate, before school ever starts, we have our initial retreat. And that retreat is all about making sure you're connecting in the, you know, we're very intentional about how we give space at that time for kids to connect in safe ways, to meet their staff and their advocates in safe ways, for us to connect with parents and build that relationship with parents. Because then when we transfer to the online space, well, you know, Brittany and I feel like we're best friends. Why? Because we've seen each other a number of times and had personal conversations, and it isn't just a Zoom connection. The other thing that we just next week, we actually have kids meeting up in Kenya at our one-to-one school from South Korea, our Oregon campus, as well as our online school. And then we have kids meeting in Guatemala and the Philippines as well next week. So there's like, we do it for the online, but then we also do it in a global way that's just incredibly powerful. So, but again, it is that willingness to give your time and resources to the things that you say you value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that those, I joke that when we go to retreat, it's like, as soon as we show up, our kids disappear and we see them at bedtime and at meals.
Just like the old days. Go outside and play.
Yeah. And I love it. You know, I'm so excited that, you know, I've watched you go, based off the calendar that I saw coming out for next year, we are expanding into having to go to different locations than where we've gone previously. So I'm excited for that. But I think part of the reason why I wanted you on here, Angie, for this episode of our imperfect parenting is in my book, there's a whole section that I talk about the story of me being at war with the school. And I mean, I have never felt so small, so powerless, so frustrated, so scared. And I'm fighting for the thing that you require of me. You require that my child be at your school, but you're making it incredibly difficult for me. And I just remember that whole season, you know, I had so many different people speaking into our lives of like what to do and how to fight. And I felt like everyone thought I was crazy for holding a standard of protecting my child from you. This is ridiculous. I'm protecting them from you, my school, the place where my child spends almost more time awake than they do with me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so to go to an extreme difference in such a short amount of time, I think we had a year or two before we found you since that happened. It is just a night and day experience for Ben and I and all of our kids to walk into a place that has such high value for family connection. And really, I mean, if Loving on Purpose could have created a school, you would have been the lead role. We would have hired you. You have expressed all that is in our heart and better and more.
Well, and it's so funny. And part of that is because I agree 100% with you guys. Whole healthy families save the world. It isn't the church. It isn't the schools. It is. So any parent sending their kid to a school hoping that the school is going to right their kid is abdicating their God-given responsibility. And so but we understand that if you didn't have great parents growing up, you know, that's a really hard thing to come into and build a healthy family. And so you guys do this so well. It's why we partner every opportunity we get with you, is because our parents need coaching, you know, and that's what we do at all of our retreats, is give them resources, give them coaching. You're not alone on the journey, but we believe strongly that your role is actually more valuable than our role. And we're here to partner with you in that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love our partnership. I love our relationship. I'm so grateful that Lainey gets to graduate from your school. I think it is, you know, she has rotated more through more schools than any of our other kids. And it's kind of a running joke, but she says, this is the school I wish I was at the longest. I said, yeah, if I could go back in time, I wish you could have been here the longest, because it would just have been amazing. So, so thankful that she gets to conclude her, you know, time as, you know, high school under. She gets to.
How do I become a parent that's sending my kids to Valor?
You can go to valoronline.org and check us out. We have info sessions. I think we do them like every 3 weeks online and social media. Just reach out to us through our website. It's probably the quickest, easiest. We can set up a private call and see if our school is a fit for your family, you know, because culture fit is really important to us. That
really,
everybody understands that we're doing this together.
Totally. And Angie, you have a couple resources as well. Do you want to talk about those real fast?
Yeah. So I have a book and a podcast. Both are called The Way of Valor. And it really is about creating and a culture transforming generation. You know, at the end of the day, so many schools say that they're developing leaders, but yet we have them sit in their classrooms and stuff everything in, and we're not drawing those unique talents out. And so both the book and the podcast are really geared for families that are looking for more and for their kids, and hopefully are a great resource. And they can just find those on Google, Amazon, The Way of Valor.
Awesome. Well, guys, hopefully our listeners have appreciated me bringing them the best resource I know for education.
You're welcome.
Totally. I'm
fantastic.
Thank God all the time that he puts you in my lap. I do.
Well, we're grateful for you. And you get to come to an in-person graduation.
I know. Yay. I know. So exciting. So exciting. Well, thank you again, Angie, so much. And for the Kyla Show, just remember that whole healthy families are going to save the world. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Blessings.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.